Well, it is a privilege to be here this morning. I have been to the church before for a revival meeting you all had. It had to be years ago that I've been here, but it is good to be back this time again in a different capacity as well, but I'm excited about it. 1 Kings in chapter number 2 is where we're going to begin looking. 1 Kings in chapter number 2 is where we're going to draw our text from this morning. I want to say that in the absence of Pastor Brooks and Brother Aaron, to have men and women that can fill in and cover for everything or every capacity, that is a privilege. That means the church has been blessed, that God has given servants of God who can carry on the service in the same capacity as though the pastor was here. And so that's something that you ought to count yourselves thankful, ought to count it a privilege that you get the opportunity to serve and use those gifts and talents of God. I was telling Brother Carl this morning on the way up here that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And there's some churches that you don't ever get to use them. God's called you, God's given you gifts and talents, and there's never a way. But you ought to be thankful this morning for many of you that were able to use those and glorify God by way of that. 1 Kings in chapter number 2, if you found your place there, let it be known by hearty amen. Amen. I do have to tell you this morning, I am extremely loud naturally, and I cannot hear. All right, so if I come across really loud, I'm not yelling at you. I just can't hear myself, even with these big monitors right here, okay? So don't hold it against me. I'm not yelling at you. This is just naturally my speaking voice, all right? So 1 Kings in chapter number 2, have a thought I want to share with you, want to try to be an encouragement to you as best as possible. Just before we dive into the text, just want to give you a little bit about me. I've been serving in Jacksonville Baptist Temple now for the last 10 to 12 years I've been on staff there. Surrendered to preach when I was 16 years old, and God has just opened doors where I've had the opportunity not only to preach back home, to preach throughout the state and sometimes outside the state as well, and God has just used us. Brother Carl's a young man, surrendered to preach as well, and he's trying to get after it, and so we've been fellowshipping a lot together. Invited him to come along with me. He thought he came along to fellowship. He don't know he drive. He's driving back. But that was all kind of part of it, right? But we enjoyed the fellowship and getting together, talking about God's word and communicating about those things as well, all right? 1 Kings chapter number 2. Is everybody there? Yes. I had to get myself a little comfortable. That's why I'm doing all this talking, all right? Let's begin in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. That blood should be upon thy own head. And Shimei said unto the king, The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, the son of Micaiah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, Behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and said, and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, Know for certain, on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither, thou shalt surely die. And thou saidest unto me, The word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandments I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thy own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon." Let's pray. God, I pray that you add your blessings, God, Lord, to the teaching, preaching of your word this morning. God, I pray that you give me clarity of thought, God, or clarity of speech. God, as we try to communicate, thus saith the word of God to your people. And then, God, Lord, I pray that you would allow, God, or the thoughts, God, to penetrate our hearts. God, penetrate our minds, God, Lord. And then when it's all said and done, when the last amen has been said and the last song has been sung, God, I pray the testimony that will echo from the walls of this church, God, is that you met with us and that we met with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the summer of 1981, a few young men decided to embark upon a summer swim. Now, there was nothing unusual about this. In this corner of the state, that's what many of the young people did in the summer. But on June 30th, 1981, one 16-year-old boy was told that he could not go swimming this day. He asked why he couldn't go. I mean, this is what we did seemingly every day. Why can't I go swimming this day? This young man asked his dad. His dad didn't necessarily give him a reason, but he told him, do not leave this house till I get home. Now, I don't know how many of you were raised, but I was raised and my dad said, don't do something. You just didn't do it, right? And so he was given that commandment. As you can imagine, this young man on this day, he went swimming. He went with his group of friends and they went down to the bayou at the end of the street and they were swimming. Now, I don't want to mislead you before I continue with the story, but this young man was an accomplished swimmer. He was known in the neighborhood to be a good swimmer. He was known at school to be a good swimmer. Everybody knew that this young man could swim. But on this particular day, June the 30th, 1981, his swimming accomplishments didn't matter. On this particular day, the fact that everybody knew he was a good swimmer didn't matter. On this particular day, the confidence that he had in his own abilities, they did not matter, because on June 30th, he drowned. Tragic situation, an uncomfortable situation, a situation that this family no doubt was not prepared for. But the thing that echoed in the mind of his father was, I told him, don't leave the house. I didn't tell him not necessarily not to go swimming. I told him, do not leave the house. If he doesn't leave the house, he doesn't end up in the bayou. If he doesn't leave the house, he doesn't end up places where he should not be. I told him not to leave the house. With that thought in mind, I want to introduce you to our text. In our text here in 1 Kings in chapter number 2, Solomon is the newly anointed king of Israel. No doubt all of us know the story already. We know David was the king after God's own heart. He passed the kingdom on to his son Solomon. Solomon was the son that was born to King David by way of Bathsheba. It was the one that God promised that I'm going to use him as long as he stays faithful to the things of God. When Solomon got on the throne in 1 Kings in chapter number 1, he had some stuff he had to address. David was a king and he was God's man, and David did some good things and David orchestrated some good things. But in David's old age, some things started to slip through the crack. And so Solomon had to come and put these things in order. The first thing Solomon does when he becomes king is he has his brother killed. Now, he wasn't doing this out of vengeance. He wasn't doing this out of anger. He wasn't doing this because he didn't like him growing when they were growing up. He had his brother killed because his brother tried to steal the kingdom from his father. He had his brother killed because after Solomon got on the throne, his brother came and asked for his father's wife. And Solomon said, he don't make good decisions. We can't have this guy around. He had Benaniah, his mighty man, fall on him and kill him. The next thing Solomon does is he casts out the priest Abiathar. This priest was the priest who went against David, who went against the kingdom that God had established, and Solomon had the priest thrown out. Solomon ended the priestly lineage of Eli. They were done with. The next, he went after Joab. Joab was the captain of David's army. If you read through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, you find out that Joab led some mighty battles and Joab did some great things by way of military strength. But when Joab saw that his king was getting weak, Joab lost faith in him. And Joab begins to follow after Adonijah. And so Solomon now, he removed Joab from the captain of his army. The next thing Solomon does, as we find in our text, is he begins to address this man by the name of Shimei. Now, it's interesting to me when I read this text that basically everybody that Solomon has addressed so far, he's had killed. But when it comes to Shimei, he doesn't have Shimei killed. Now, in our text here, it does not tell us what Shimei did that so angered Solomon. You have to go back to reading 2 Samuel in chapter number 16 and you find out what Shimei did. For sake of time, we're not going to go there. I'm going to kind of paraphrase it for you if I could. Shimei was from a tribe by the tribe of Benjamin. From the tribe of Benjamin, we get the first king of Israel by way of Saul. When God was finished with Saul, it appeared that God was finished with the tribe of Benjamin when he appointed David to be king. Shimei didn't like this. Shimei wanted the king to stay in Saul's family so that his tribe can be well represented. But God said, I'm not looking for tribal history. I'm looking for a man after mine own heart. And that's where David came on the scene. As David was newly anointed king, he is going through his kingly trip through all these lands. And as he's going through the tribe of Benjamin, Shimei is standing on the road and he's cursing out the king. Shimei standing on the side of the road and he's throwing rocks at the king's chariot. Now, I don't know who taught Shimei this was a good idea, but it's probably not a good idea. I mean, if the president is rolling through town, I don't think it's smart for you to stand on the side of the road and just yell and curse at him. I don't think it's right for you to throw rocks. Whether you voted for him or not, I don't think that's a good idea. I think if somebody was doing that today, they might get a ride in the back of your car and just see how comfortable it is. It's not the best idea. As a matter of fact, it was so uncomfortable that one of David's soldiers said, David, why don't you let me just go on and take care of this one for you? And David said, nah, don't worry about it. Why? Because David understood why he was doing what he was doing. David spared his life. It was in 2 Samuel in chapter number 19, we get to see Shimei after he cursed out the man of God, after he threw rocks at the man of God. In 2 Samuel chapter number 19, he comes to David begging David for forgiveness. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who did not punish us from what we were, but forgave us when we came and asked for it? Yeah, we might not have been cursing them out. We might not have been throwing rocks at God, but our lifestyle was contrary to God. And there was a period of time where God allowed grace for us to get to the point where we say, God, you know, I was wrong for that. God, you know, I was the problem. God, you know, it was me. It had nothing to do with you. David showed grace. And because David showed grace, guess what Solomon did? He showed grace as well. So he said, you went against my father again. So he said, Shimei, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to send my best soldier after you. I want you to build a house in Jerusalem, and I don't want you to ever leave. He basically, what we would know, he put Shimei on house arrest. I want you to build a house and never leave. Now, I've never been in trouble with the law before, but I can only imagine if I had the option of dying or the option of building a house and staying there for forever, I think I'm going to build a house and stay there forever. I mean, I don't think it took a lot of time. I don't think he had to consult with his lawyer. I think he could figure out that this just made sense. So that's what Shimei does. He builds a house. And the Bible says that he stayed in that house for 3 years. He tried to obey the rule that was put on him. He tried to submit to the punishment that was put on his life. For 3 years, he stayed in this house. But the Bible says something happened. And after 3 years, Shimei leaves to go and find his servants. His servants had ran away. His servants had escaped. His servants had left for some unknown reason that the scripture does not outline. And Shimei goes to find his servants. The Bible says that the word got back to Solomon. Solomon found out that Shimei disobeyed him. So Solomon calls Shimei in and he begins to question him. And Shimei gives him some lame excuses. And Solomon says, because you went against me, I'm going to have you killed. I think if Shimei could have a word in service this morning, Shimei's word to us would be just stay in the house. Listen, Shimei, if you would have just stayed in the house, you wouldn't have died early. If you would have just stayed in the house, your family would have been taken care of. If you would have just stayed in the house, you would have been in the center of the will that the king established for your life. If I can put it into terms this morning, the house that I'm referring to is the local New Testament church. This is the place where the Bible said that he's purchased with his own blood. This is the place where the Bible said is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the place where the Bible told us that we ought to learn how to behave ourselves. This is the place where the Bible told us that we ought not to forsake. And I'm not promising there's a death sentence when you get out. What I'm saying is when you get out of the house of God, there's a chance that things in your life might not go according to plan. Yep. The message this morning, the thought this morning is stay in the house. I don't know anybody in here. I know of a few people here, but I want to encourage you the best I can to commit to stay in the house of God. Amen. There's so many things that can distract us. Memorial Day weekend is an easy weekend to get people out of the house of God, but I'm glad you committed to be here. During the summer months is an easy time to get out of the house of God, but many of you are going to be committed to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night because you understand what God has for your life and what he expects from us to do is to stay in the house. I don't know what brought you to church. I don't know if you started off coming, somebody picked you up. I don't know if somebody knocked on your door. I don't know how you started off coming here, but the Bible says that God now added to the body as it pleased him. What he's saying, if you're here, it's because God placed you here. It wasn't just luck of the draw. It wasn't the luck of the Irish. This is God who brought you here because he added to the body as it pleased him. And if that's the case, we ought to be committed to stay in the house. Just a couple things I want to point out for this from this text. Firstly, I want to point out what is the reason for having this house or its establishment. Verse number 36. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there and go not forth thence any whither. The reason for this house that Shimei was going to stay in was it was going to be his way of being in a place to where the king can keep an eye on him. Shimei, you've proven that you're deceitful. Shimei, you're proven that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Shimei, you've proven that you're not going to make the best decisions when it comes to your spiritual life. So the king says, Shimei, I need you to be at a place where you can have accountability. You say, what's the purpose of the local New Testament church? Accountability. It's to have somebody there who I'm accountable to. Now, I don't have to check in with my pastor every time I get to church. But I do know that if I'm not there, there's going to be a sister next Sunday who's going to ask me, hey, Brother Vosky, where were you last Sunday? And I'm going to say, well, I was preaching in Searcy. I'm accountable to her. She don't run my house. I don't owe her anything, but she expects Brother Vosky to be at church. And when Brother Vosky's not at church, she's going to be asking me where I was. And here's what I don't want to tell her. I just wasn't feeling it last week. So I just decided, you know what, it's a 3-day weekend. I really need to refresh for the next part of the year. I don't want to tell her that I'm accountable to. There's some young people in the church who are going to come up to me and say, hey, Brother Vosky, where were you? My Sunday school class, they're gonna want to know, why weren't you here last week? There's some accountability. And the king says, Shimei, I want you to build a house in Jerusalem. I got to keep an eye on you. And in the local New Testament church, that's what we have. We have accountability. As I was just here this morning, I heard the brothers and sisters in the back, as people were coming in, they were shaking hands and calling people by name and saying stuff like this, it's good to see you. Glad to have Sister So-and-so here. Well, you said, what is that? That's accountability. That's people saying, I love you. I care about you. I want to see you in the house of God. I want to see the blessings of God bestowed upon your life. I want to see you be taken care of. In the local New Testament church, you get into Corinthians, and the Bible begins to talk about how some are a foot and a leg and all those things, and it's all working together. Yes. We have various skills, gifts, abilities. And God has put it all in the local New Testament church. And we're here now to do the will of God. But there ought to be some accountability. Let's look at some other things that the Bible seems to indicate about this. Here's another reason for the house of Shimei. It was a house of salvation. Yes. When Shimei got up in the morning and walked around that house that he had built, Shimei was reminding of himself, man, I've been saved. I'm still alive. Everybody else has died. Solomon's killed him. But Shimei walks around this house and it's a reminder now, I've been saved. I've been saved. When you come in the house of God this morning, you're going to hear somebody say something about being saved. Just reminded, man, God saved my soul. I knew I wasn't the worst sinner, and I knew I wasn't the only sinner. But I'm thankful that God saved my soul. When I walk into the church, it's a picture to me of salvation. That God now made a way for me to be saved. Do you realize that the gospel could have stopped in the Bible day? You realize the gospel could have stopped with the disciples, but God so made a way for it to be preserved through scripture that we can hear the word of God today. I'm reminded it's a house of salvation. Not only was it a house of salvation, it was a house of separation. Part of the reason that Solomon wanted Shimei to be in Jerusalem is because when Shimei got around his kinfolks, he made bad decisions. When Shimei got to Benjamin, he would link up with the rest of the Benjamites, and the Benjamites were mad at the house of David. So Solomon says, Shimei, I don't want your house to be in Benjamin. I want your house to be in Jerusalem. You right down the street from me. The thing about the local New Testament church is it helps us understand the benefit of separation. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. I don't know about many of you, but when I get outside of church, when I go to work, I go work in a worldly environment. When I go to work, I don't work around a lot of Christians. When I go to work, I don't work around the people who are in church on Sunday morning. When I go to work, I don't work around a lot of people who are in church on Sunday night. When I go to work, I don't work around a lot of people who have a King James Bible in their hand. When I go to work, I work around worldly people. So when I get to come into the house of God, it's refreshing to be around people who believe the same thing I believe, who speak the same way I speak, who communicate the same way I communicate, who try to do well the same way I try to do well, who tries to love people the way I try to love people. I love the separation that's in the house of God. We're separated from the world, but we're united to the word. This is what's drawing us together. And Shimei was at a house of separation. He was a house that represented salvation. When we gather together, we're gathering as saved people. When we gather together, we're gathering as people who are separating from the world, but trying to unite in his word. The reason for the house. But notice with me, secondly, the reasoning for leaving the house. If Shimei would have told me this story, I would have said, Shimei, that made good sense. Shimei stayed in his house for 3 years. He was trying to obey the command that the king gave him, but here's what happened. His two servants left. The two people that Shimei was responsible about, who would have been there to help take care of him, they left. And all Shimei went to do was to go and get his servant, and he came right back. The Bible doesn't give us any indication that Shimei said, man, you know, it's pretty fun out here. I think I'm going to spend a weekend. The Bible doesn't give us any indication that Shimei said, you know what, I'm going to take the tourist way back, just add a couple days to my trip. Shimei went to get his servant, and he came back. But guess what? The king was not okay with his excuse. You want to know what I'm curious about sometimes? Is when we give excuses for why we don't do what God says, I wonder if God's okay with it. You know what I mean? Hey, God, I was thinking about going to church this morning, but it's a nice day. I really got to get this long cut. It's going to rain the rest of the week. I don't really have time. I wonder if God says, yeah, now that does make sense. No, you should. By all means, cut the grass. You want to have a pretty lawn for the week. Yeah, that makes good sense. I wonder when we wake up and we say, well, I know I'm supposed to be in my word, but you know what? I'm a little tired this morning. I'm going to get an extra 15 minutes. I wonder if God says, you sure do need that extra 15 minutes of sleep. It's going to make your day so much better. I wonder if God is okay with our excuses. As a parent now, as was mentioned, I have two boys. I did not realize how many excuses I made till I had kids. And I did not realize how much my excuses did not make sense until I had kids. Now, I'm pretty sure many of you are parents. Some are probably grandparents. So what I'm about to say, you're going to relate to very, very easily. My youngest son is okay doing everything in the morning. He don't mind making up his bed. He don't mind eating breakfast. He don't mind putting his clothes on. But what this young fella seems to forget every morning is to brush his teeth. I mean, it just seems, you're in the bathroom. You're in front of the mirror. You're at the sink. you did all these things, but when you get in the car on the way to school and you ask them, did you brush your teeth? No, I didn't brush my teeth, and I couldn't brush my teeth because the toothpaste was stuck. And what do you mean the toothpaste was stuck? You don't think there's other toothpaste in the house? Is that a legit reason for you not to brush your teeth? I mean, he can just come up with them. And as Christians sometimes, I wonder if that's how we do God. Well, God, I was going to read my Bible, but you don't understand. I had to get to work early. I had to do this, and I had to do this, and I had to do this. And by the time I got finished with my day, God, I forgot all about you. We make excuses. And when the king, when Shimei spoke to the king, he came with excuses. And I want you to look at how Solomon looked at these excuses and wonder if this is how God looks at them. So Shimei made an excuse, and here's what his excuse was. The servants left. Now, when the servants left, that meant Shimei was going to have to do some work. The servants took care of him. The servants made sure everything was good. But when the servants left, that meant Shimei was going to have to do some work. Listen, sometimes in our spiritual life, we make excuses about doing things from God because it's going to cost us something. It's going to be uncomfortable. I hate to be the one to break it to you, but God didn't save you just for you to be comfortable. Now, the blessings of God have made us comfortable. But the reason God saved us was not just so we could be comfortable. What do you mean is there are going to be times when you're going to have to sacrifice. There's going to be times where you're going to have to inconvenience yourself because you're trying to do the work of God. You're trying to be obedient to the things of God. The brother asked me this morning on the way up here, and it's crazy how this correlates, but he was talking about how, or asking me, how do we balance preaching out and working a job and being on staff of the church and doing all these type of things? How do you balance these type of things? And the answer is this: you just do. You just do. There's not an answer I can give you. The Bible says this. I think it's in it's either James 1 or Galatians 1, where the Bible talks about adding to. You're going to add patience. You're going to add faith. You're going to keep adding to your spiritual life. And as you keep adding to your spiritual life, God keeps giving you the grace to get it all done. So what I'm saying is, yes, I'm tired. Yes, there's things I want to do. Yes, there's things I need to be done. Yes, there's some good excuses that the whole church would agree and say, yes, that's a valid point. That's a good reason. But why can't God just give me the grace to do it all? Why can't I serve God 100% and still do the things that I want to do 100%? Now, man says it's impossible, but I thought all things were possible with God. Why can't God give me the grace? And Shimei's excuse was, the reason I'm leaving my house is because I have to work. Because I have to work. I used to tell our young people this all the time. When they start getting 16, they start getting jobs. Now, we had our Wednesday night Bible study, was our biggest teen group, was on Wednesday night. And I started noticing a lot of them were missing. Well, the reason I couldn't come is because I had to work on Wednesday night. So I start challenging them. Why don't you ask God for a job where you don't have to? I mean, if you can ask God to save you from hell, can't that same God that saved you from hell get you a job where you don't have to miss church? I'm talking about that's something you want. I'm talking about if you're really committed to. You can ask God for those type of things. When I was 16 years old, I started working. I might have missed 3 or 4 Wednesdays. Matter of fact, I didn't miss church. I went to Bible college. That's something we got to talk about later. But because I asked God for it. I went to interviews and I told him, I'm available anytime you need, but Wednesday night from 7 to 9, Sunday from 9 to 12:30, and from 6 to 8. I could be here any other time you need me. I'm giving you more than 40 hours. But if you want the worker you want, you got to understand, I got to be at church. Because if you got me here Wednesday night at 7, I can assure you I'm disconnected from everything that's going on. Because my heart, my life is supposed to be there. Why can't God give me what I desire? Here's what I'm saying. I know there are jobs. I know there's things. This is the biggest excuse most people make for having to miss church's work. I know those things are there. But can't you trust God to see if maybe he can work that thing out? His servants left. Here's the second reason excuse he made was not that his servants left, that he had to work. Notice verse number 39, that his stewardship was lacking. His stewardship was lacking. Now, oftentimes when we hear the word stewardship, we start thinking about money. I'm the guest preacher here. I'm not supposed to talk money. That's the pastor's job, right? I'm just supposed to try to encourage. But I'm not talking about money. When Solomon allowed him to build this house, he gave him two servants. And it was Shimei's job to take care of those servants, ensure everything was done, and stay in that house. But for some other reason, unbeknownst to us, his servants left. Now, this word steward basically is one who manages the affairs of another. Yes. He was given the responsibility to manage these servants that Solomon had given him. And for some odd reason, he could not manage them effectively where they felt like they had to run away. Now, I want you to understand, these servants ran from Jerusalem, where God is, to Gath, that's the Philistines. They went from the security of a place where God is, and they went to the Philistines, which is always a picture of the world. So these servants now were so unhappy where God is that they decided they prefer to be in the world than live with the person who's in the house of God. And so Shimei went after them. Why? He could not manage what God had given him to manage. Parents, grandparents, Christians, it is imperative for us to manage what God has given us to manage. It is not my job to manage somebody else's house. I got a wife. I have children who will one day, I hope, will get married and I can have grandchildren. And maybe God might bless me enough long enough to see my great-grandchildren. And it is my job to ensure that the two boys that are in my house are so raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that I get to have an impact on my grandchildren's life. But I have to manage what God has given me. As I've been ministering on staff now and getting to counsel and talk to people, I've recognized in the church you have two groups. You have those parents, grandparents, who have their structure, who are just content with trying to see them graduate high school. That's it. That's their only aspiration, is to get them out of high school. And then you have those, on the other hand, who are going to manage this thing so tight to where the kids can't wait to leave after they get out of high school. But God has given us, and I say us, I'm speaking particularly to me as a man, as the head of my home, where I have to so raise my children, so love my wife, to ensure that we are creating an atmosphere to where our children say, we're not just blessed because of who mom and dad is. We're blessed because of who mom and dad serve. My goal is to point my children to Jesus. I don't beat them up because of Jesus. I grew up in church my whole life. I was born on a Thursday. I was in church Sunday night. I told you I'd have missed till I went to Bible college. Church all the time. And I've seen it happen time and time and time again, where parents beat their kids up with Jesus, and now the kids have an issue with Jesus. No, it's more than just God. You tell a lost man God said means absolutely nothing. They don't have God in this proper place. But if I raise them to where I'm pointing them to Jesus as we're walking together, now they can serve my God. When I was 16 years old, my dad told me this. He said, until you get some convictions of your own, you're going to use mine. He said, until you learn how to get a relationship with God, then you can operate off of my relationship with God. But guess what? You can't be sustained by that. I'm living in the blessings of God that has been bestowed upon my father. But they can't be sustained like that. What does that mean? I had to get a relationship with them for myself. I'm glad dad prayed every morning. I'm glad mom read her Bible every day and prayed over us. I'm glad they did that. But there was a point in time in my life where I had to start praying for myself. There was a point in time in my life where now I have to pray over my wife and I have to pray over my children. Why, I can't live off of their relationship forever. I need a relationship with God for me. And Shimei, he never got that. Why? Because he could not manage what God gave him. And then the third and last reason, and we're going to close here. The last excuse that Shimei gave was in verse number 44. Notice what Solomon said. The king said, moreover, to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. Solomon looks at Shimei and said, I've heard your excuses, but here's what I know. In your heart, 3 years ago when I told you to build this house, you were looking for a reason to leave. And guess what? Satan gave you one. I've had the opportunity to minister multiple places. And occasionally I get the opportunity sometime to come back. And when you come back, sometimes you see people who you might have fellowshipped when you were there the first time who aren't there when you come back the second time. And although it's a tragedy to see anybody leave, what we've come to notice sometimes and what Solomon lets us know from Scripture is this wickedness might have been there the whole time. Here's a question I'm curious about this morning. I don't know anybody here. How many are looking for a reason to leave? You're looking for one. Because what happens is if you are, Satan's going to give you one. Right. Satan's going to give you an opportunity to leave if you're looking for it. Shimei had waited 3 years for an opportunity to leave, and he finally got one. My servants left. And notice this, he justified it. He justified it. The thing I've been studying here over the past couple of days, actually, I've been kind of looking at what the Bible says about your mind, your heart, and your conscience. And you get to reading over there, I think it's in Galatians, as Paul begins to lay this thing out for the Galatian church, we might look at a little bit of that tonight. There are some times where our mind begins to play tricks on us. And we begin to believe our doubts, which then begins to make us start doubting our beliefs. And Shimei got to the place in his life where he said, I'm ready to get out of here, and I'll make any excuse that I can. But the problem with that is, Shimei, it cost you. It cost you. The story that I started off this morning about the young man that went swimming, that was my uncle. The only boy of four girls. I've never met him. The Williams name, my mother's family, that name can no longer continue. Why? Because he was looking for a reason to do something that he shouldn't have done. He couldn't obey the command of just staying in the house. In his house, they had a nice, from what I was told, they had the nicest house on the block. It was a comfortable place to be. He had all these things that his parents could afford. They spoiled this boy. Being at home was not a problem. He just couldn't stay there. In his heart, he wanted to get out. I don't know everything about Liberty Baptist Church, but I know you got a good pastor. I know you have talent that's in this church. I know you have the Word of God. I know you have servants of God who love you and want to see you grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know you have all that. So here's the thought this morning. Commit to stay in the house. I'm going to be here. If God planted me here, I'm not going to unplant myself. I'm not going to pluck myself up. I'm going to stay where God has planted me. No matter how long it gets, how tiring it gets, no matter what people around me are saying, no matter what excuses I can come up with in my own heart and mind, no matter how valid people might think they are, I'm committed to be in God's house. Let's pray. God, I thank you, God, for the opportunity, God, we had to gather together. And God, I thank you, God, for your people, God, and their attentiveness, God, this morning and listening. God, as we try to preach, thus saith the word. Now, God, I hope this morning I didn't say anything that would be a hindrance, God, to your church, God, to be an embarrassment, God, to this pastor, God, who serves this flock of God faithfully, dear Lord. God, I pray that you will bless the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.